This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good afternoon. WEEI Afternoons at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series official truck of the Red Sox. If I were cynical, I'd say the Red Sox might F this series with the pitching rotation that they're sending to the mound this weekend, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not cranky because I'm going to be sticking around for the game tonight and I'm seeing Cooper Criswell instead of Garrett Crochet. Nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay optimistic and positive like a Ted Johnson shirt because Ted is here. Feeling good?
I am. I'm feeling great.
Yeah, as optimistic as you were late in the show yesterday?
No, I'm disappointed, clearly. it's just, but I'm not going to let it ruin my day. And my life.
Well, it's not ruining my life.
Look, my man down in Houston, though, shout out to H-Town listeners down there. But the way he put
James.
It. Oh, he's
James
already turning squads on us, Andy.
He put it in perspective, I thought, pretty good. How much time and he dedicates to this organization, literally quantifying it by 3 weeks of his life every single year.
Yep.
And he's not happy with it. So I'm not going to let it ruin my day, but I definitely am not happy about what happened.
And I do think, before we get into our three-point stances here, the Red Sox are close to taking for granted Red Sox Nation and the support they get and the loyalty they get and the passion they get and all those things we were raving about early in the year, like the buzz is back, the hope is gone, it's expectations and people are watching and listening and ratings are up for everybody's excited. Well, when you keep kicking people in the nuts, at some point they're just going to turn away. They're going to go somewhere else and use that money, that energy, that time elsewhere. And they keep doing this year after year at the trade deadline. But we'll continue to take your phone calls in a little bit on the trade deadline. We'll talk to Will Fleming. We'll hear from Alex Cora. But right now it's 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson's here, and it's time for the three-point stance.
319!
319!
319!
Yeah, there you go!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pastrnak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or the Red Sox have kicked you in the raisins simply for being a fan, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. It is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Our order is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and then Ted Johnson. Andy, you get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
Indeed, ready to go.
All right, your 60 seconds begins right now.
Oh, obviously, a lot of the show today is going to be about the trade deadline, the Red Sox. We're here at Fenway Park, so I'm going to throw a little curveball, little football nugget here that came across my computer this morning. ESPN put out their rankings of basically coaching staffs in the National Football League. And so that's your offensive coordinator, your defensive coordinator, and your head coach primarily. Well, Mike Vrabel and his staff ranks 20th in the league. And it had me thinking, is that fair? Is that a little high? Because around here we've been talking about Mike Vrabel's the MVP of the offseason. Mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel is the guy that's the reason for vibes and optimism. This could be a playoff team because Mike Vrabel's here. And then I'm like, 20th? That's bottom half of the league. That's outside of the window of playoffs, right? 14 teams make the playoffs. Are we overrating Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels, and Terrell Williams, what they're bringing to this coaching staff? And I'd say no, because then I looked at the rankings a little closer and I said, teams that are right in front of them, Miami with Mike McDaniel, you could easily be better than that. Colts with Shane Steichen, you could easily be better than that. Bengals with Zach Taylor, I think he stinks and the only reason they're good is because he's got two great receivers and a quarterback named Joe Burrow. So this ranking had me wondering, Mike Vrabel, we overrating him? Then I looked at the ranking and said by the end of the season, Mike Vrabel will be closer to the top 10 in terms of coaching staff than he is 20. So we're all good. Mike Vrabel's great, and everything's going in a great direction, baby.
Can I ask a question? So if by the end of the season, they'll be top 10?
Toward top 10.
Top 10. So, like, that means that they won how many games if they're top 10 coaching?
Eight. You know my prediction.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. All right.
But they're going to look good in all those games, Ted, and they're going to be competitive and competent. And the fact that they're so much more buttoned up and professional is what's going to give Andy and others the confidence to say this is an upper tier coaching staff. I think 20th is too low.
And I think part of it is, too, is why people are so excited about it is just based on what we've seen in the last few years here. I'm sorry, Bill Belichick the last 3 or 4 years was not the same Belichick. He just wasn't working as hard. He didn't have the same energy or the same enthusiasm about his job. And we saw what happened last year with Gerard Mayo. So when you compare him, his presence, and what he's done and impact so far this year compared to those guys, he looks like he's a top five quarterback or, you know, coach, if you will.
Bill Belichick rested on his laurels. He flat out said it. Remember a couple years ago? What's the reason for excitement around here? Last 25 years, right? He was resting on his laurels. He was living off his resume. I believe Gerard Mayo was living off of the owner's belief in him, and that was it. Really, his substance was, well, the owner saw me in Israel and thought I could be the next head coach. There was nothing beyond that. There was no resume. There was no plan. Mike Vrabel is prime of his career, experienced, organized, has a plan, has good coaches. That's the other thing. Surrounded himself with great coaches, something the last two coaches didn't do, right?
You're intimidated by bringing in good coaches.
Now you have a good head coach with a plan, with confidence, surrounded by other good coaches. This, by the end of the year, coaching staff, not the record, by the end of the year could easily be top 10 or top 5. And next offseason, the only thing we'll talk about is the talent they need to improve, where they need to add talent, because the system, the leadership, all of that will be in place with Mike Vrabel and company. So 20th is too low.
Wow. Okay. Fitz, anything you want to add in?
It's track record, man. I mean, you got Josh McDaniels, who's a winner, and I think we all believe has given us the confidence and will be turning this offense around.
Not as a head coach.
Yeah, but that's what he is. He's
as a coordinator, not as a head coach. No. I think there's too many smart people with experience in the room to be 20th, but hey, we'll see. Hey, and football got started last night. What a game that was, huh?
Yeah, it was competitive for the first couple minutes. Yeah,
was it? So.
All right, Mr. Fitzy Stevens, are you ready?
Speaking of football, I am. I'm particularly excited for this one.
Beautiful. A football-themed 60 seconds, which begin right now.
Dear New England Patriots, please ignore everything that has taken place over the past 24 to 48 hours at the offices of the Fenway Sports Group and Fenway Park and the offices of Craig Breslow, Sam Kennedy, and John Henry. And in fact, do the opposite, especially when it comes to the potential for pursuing Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin, who has grown so frustrated at his team's lack of contract offers that meet his or his agent's demands that he has now officially requested a trade out of Washington to any other team that will actually pay him his fair sum and freight. New England Patriots, you've got draft picks. You've got lots of other talent, or at least players and receivers you could dangle and throw into the deal. And also, you've got lots of money. I don't want to hear anything about operational efficiency or fiscal responsibility when you have one proven solid receiver, a bunch of other guys trying to make their name, and an offense that really needs to catch up to the defense. That's the side of the ball you need the most help on, and a Diggs-McLaurin combo with Drake May and Josh McDaniels would be playoff city. Do it!
Yeah, I'm in on that. I would. You know how they talked about being uncomfortably aggressive in the offices of Fenway Sports Group, Fitzy. Uh-huh. There's no price I wouldn't overpay in order to try to make this happen for how I think it would bring the offense together.
First round pick?
Yeah, absolutely.
You would give up a first round next year's first round pick and then hand Terry McLaurin whatever it is, $120 million over the next 4 years or whatever that number may be.
I think the value that he brings you, that's my philosophy on draft picks anyways. It's magic beans. You could get a good player. You could even get somebody who eventually is as good as Terry McLaurin. But in a year that's so important for Drake May to take another step, having a true number one receiver to then add to a true number two receiver, I think is worth its weight in gold.
And for Andy, cocksure nature that I think Mike Vrabel has, I think he would say, yeah, I'll trade you my first-round pick because you give me Terry McLaurin, that first-round pick just dropped about 10 spots further down the draft.
There's something to that.
And there's truth to that. Instead of picking in the teens, you might be picking in the mid-20s.
Yeah, and also let's remember how much he loves having a number one wide receiver, like back during the days when he had A.J. Brown. Maybe they think that's what Steph Diggs is now, but Terry McLaurin is younger, and as we discussed the other day, Ted, he is consistent. Yeah, he had his best season to date last year with Jaden Daniels. Sky could be the limit for him this year. And guys, by the way, I know there are a lot of betting odds on Terry McLaurin. At the exact same time that I started my three-point stance, I asked Grok what the odds of Terry McLaurin being traded to the Patriots were. Right now, it is at an implied 17.5%.
Okay, so way too high. Saying there's a chance.
Yeah, it's no way. No way.
Yeah, I think it's unlikely.
Kidding me?
Like, I think everybody wants
it. They would never trade a high draft pick and then give that person that they traded for a boatload of money.
Well, would you give like a second and a third? Like, what do you – I don't know that I would give the first-round pick because I don't know that you're going to have to. If you look at some of the deals that moved DK Metcalf and some of these guys, similar-type talents slash ages slash production.
What did he go for?
He went for like a 2 and a 3 and a play or something like that.
I'd maybe consider a second-rounder. But just because I got to give so much money to the guy, I honestly would feel more comfortable giving a third-rounder.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. It's the double dip that is concerning. I'm giving up the value of the pick and then all that
Patriots,
cap space.
In the 32 years of ownership by the Kraft family, they have basically ranked dead last in cash spending
yeah.
in those 32 years.
Yeah.
You think this is a deal that they'd even spend 1 second thinking about? No
about,
way.
What about desperation? Just pure desperation. Robert telling everybody these have been the two worst years of my life as an owner. He's not getting any younger.
You know, that's they. It's words. Like the Red Sox, a lot of words. And what about the action? So that all sounds great, but we know their true nature.
Although, can you imagine if the Boston Red Sox on a Thursday do diddly poo nothing? And sometime on Friday, Saturday, this weekend, all of a sudden, Adam Schefter, breaking news, the New England Patriots have traded for Terry. This entire town shifts to football season. This
flexing
entire town
all
shifts
over
to Patriots.
Yeah, yesterday.
I mean, they're already
Robert
in danger
Kraft,
of it.
What's going to be more you know interesting tonight? Is it going to be the scrimmage that the Patriots have, or is it going to be the Red Sox playing the Astros?
You telling me I should have gone down to Gillette instead of going to Fenway with my family?
No,
maybe.
No, Andy,
maybe.
You're in the right place. Yeah. It's just you're going to be able to tell everybody, hey, guys, I was there with my son the night before he went to college to see the death of the 2025 Red Sox. It was a very special night. I don't remember because they cut me off at 9 24-ounce Miller Lights. And, ooh. Ted, this is exactly where if Robert Kraft is still the shrewd businessman that he has been or was a long time ago, would tell Mike Vrabel here. Yeah. By the way, Metcalf went for a second and a sixth, and he's young and he's younger, although I don't think he's as good as McLaurin. Michael, take a 2 and a 3, call them right now, and then bring him to town and give him the money that he wants. He could easily reassert himself and take over control. The Celtics are flailing a bit right now. The Bruins are in the phantom zone.
See, he's never going to do it. He will never do that.
It's a chance to capitalize and take back the town.
Please, you don't think he thinks he owns this town? Have you seen the banners they hang up in Foxborough?
I'd hang him too if my team won. That's not because he thinks he owns the town.
He does not think that way. It's a pipe dream. It's honestly silly even talking about it. It's just that's not how he was wired, man.
Even if his new head coach and football czar Mike Vrabel comes and says, "Hey, this is the result of adding a number one wide receiver," is he willing to say no to Mike Vrabel on something like this?
Yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah, because there are things that the coaching staff that would kind of lead you to believe that Kraft had his hand in the coaching staff, Josh McDaniels.
Sure.
So it's not like Mike has total immunity to do whatever the hell he wants. No freaking way. Wow. Especially when it comes to how much money you spend.
Right.
That's very different than the optimism he had around 5:30 and 5:45 yesterday. It's the opposite end of the spectrum of just
what
pure
happened?
Pessimism. Maybe we should fade Johnson's optimism, though.
Let me ask you this. Give me an example in the past in his 32 years that would suggest he would do something like this. Just give me one.
So I would say one of the desperate moves he made was the Bill Belichick move. That just jumps to the top of my head, and that was a long time ago.
A long time
ago. And there was a pre-existing relationship or whatever the hell was going on back.
Antonio Brown was a risk. Wide receiver from the Falcons.
Mohamed Sanu giving up a second round.
But you didn't have to pay him. So
yeah, and neither of those cases makes sense.
Randy Moss, you didn't have to.
You didn't
pay
have
him.
To pay. Antonio Brown, you had to pay, but you didn't have to trade. Mohamed Sanu, you had to trade, but you didn't have to pay. The pay and trade. That's why I went to Bill, because you traded a first-round pick for Bill, and whatever his first contract was not massive, but you were paying him good money to be the head coach of your team. Yeah. So
you're right. That's right. That's the best example.
That's the
Bill Belichick.
That was 20. So that one worked out pretty well. So go get Terry McLaurin and do it 30 years later.
Clearly, Kraft sees coaches differently than players. Because he chose Bill over Tom.
Yeah, in hindsight, that wasn't great. But all right, Dan Ball.
All right, Ted Johnson. Well, after that defense or shooting down of Terry McLaurin, are you ready for a three-point stance of your own?
I'm ready, bud.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, so I'm going to, similarly to what Fitz you just talked about, I'm going to talk about a player that is now clearly on the open market and willing to and really wants to trade. He's asked for his trade, and that is Micah Parsons down there in Dallas. I don't know if you saw the latest, but it's pretty fascinating. What's going on there? Micah Parsons has been trying to negotiate for a new contract for months with the Cowboys. They have slow-footed it. And typically what the Dallas Cowboys do is they hem-ha and they wait until the very last second, and then they overpay for their players. And a lot of people thought it was going to go down this road as well. But Micah Parsons put out a long, long tweet today basically saying that he's asked for a trade. He wants to get out of there. That he is tired of the Cowboys negotiating behind his agent's back with him at the facility. He basically said that they've had these informal kind of conversations about his contract, and that the Cowboys have processed that as if that's the framework of a real contract. And the agent got iced out, and he's tired of it, and he wants a trade. Patriots, oh my goodness, go get Micah Parsons. Are you kidding me? Micah Parsons on this team would be phenomenal. Please. Are you kidding? Go get him. I would almost rather
not happening.
Get him than it's not.
Not happening. You know who told me that?
Yep, me.
Ted Johnson.
Yep.
Ted Johnson about 2 minutes ago.
Yep.
Do I need to get you a mirror or like a replay of what you just said about Ted?
Yeah, run it back.
What I like about this different is I like just the profile of the player. It's more. I feel like he's not going to get hurt. I feel like there's more upside to Micah Parsons than bringing in a wide receiver.
Yeah, he's younger. And
you know, when you're an edge rusher, you're not relying on the offensive line to do their job, the quarterback to do their job. That's the only way Terry McLaurin can be effective is if all these things work perfectly for him to get the ball. Micah Parsons, just beat that guy across from you.
Plus, if we're right and Milton Williams and Christian Barmore are an issue for offensive lines, and then you put Micah Parsons on the edge and he's an issue for off, like, there's only so many of those guys to go around. Somebody's got a matchup that is going to be favorable, whether it's Milton Williams, Barmore, Micah Parsons, hell, even Harold Landry. He's been having a nice.
If I was a Cowboys fan, I can't stand Jerry Jones.
Yeah, but they're going to sign him. Isn't it? I get the angst and the annoyance, but you said it. In the end, they sign your favorite player. Like, they make Dak, you know, negotiate. They make CeeDee Lamb.
Never gotten to this point. No one's ever asked for their former.
So you think he gets traded or they sign him?
Probably sign him.
Yeah, I think they sign him.
He's never gonna do it.
The one good thing about being a Cowboys fan is other teams, sometimes it's, you know, screw around, hem-haw, and then they trade him. At least the Cowboys screw around, hem-haw, and then give him a bad contract, pay him too much money, but at least your play, you can keep your jersey
on. This is weird stuff. This is Patriots-esque when they're like to negotiating around your agent.
Yeah, it's weird.
They want to get you in the hallways and in the weight room.
Is this to grab likes and clicks? Is this to grab headlines ahead of the season?
No. No. This has nothing to do with headlines. Them to me, it's they don't like the agent. They don't like the agent saying they're trying to plant a seed. They're trying to do it in like a middle school girl kind of way, like around the back. And I'd be pissed too. I'd be pissed if I was the agent and the player. Yeah. I have the agent for a reason. And if I'm the agent, I'm the agent for a reason. You will respect my authority, as Cartman says.
And I think when you get to this kind of this point that you have, it's broken. I think the relationship's fractured.
Yeah. Is it? Mm-hmm. Or do they hand him $150 million and it's like, I love you, man. Love me. I love you. We're all happy. Let's go
to
the title.
But that's my feeling, is that it's broken.
Yes, Dan Ball.
Just quickly on the health front, McLaurin has played all 17 games each of the last 4 years.
Right, but he's 31?
30.
30. Isn't he going to be 31 soon, though?
He's going into his age 30 season.
Oh, okay.
He's turning 30 on September 15th.
So he's 30.
Year.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he also just got named player 52 on the top 100.
Right.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. No, I just, if you had to pick between the two, Ted, you would take Micah Parsons.
I would, yeah.
I think I would take Terry McLaurin just for the reason of me being biased and wanting to elevate and expedite the Drake May thing. I think if you hand him Terry McLaurin and suddenly Steph Diggs is his two and Pop Douglas, everybody gets bumped down. And even if the line's not as good, he's probably now got more guys that he's willing to just throw too quick, 1.5 seconds, 2 seconds. Terry McLaurin won't hurt me. I'll throw it in his direction kind of thing.
It's to me, it's more of a waste of money. Let me ask you, you think with Josh McDaniels, you think he's going to feed Terry McLaurin and feed Stephon Diggs? They both want the ball. They both think they're ones.
Well, if they're good,
Josh
then
McDaniels,
move the ball.
Did you go to practice the other day where all they did was throw to the check down. No interceptions. Because
you don't have Terry McLaurin. If you have Terry McLaurin, you throw to Terry McLaurin.
You know Josh McDaniels.
I do.
You know how he is.
I do.
And can you, just two stud receivers. It just, that's just not, he likes to have a bunch of twos and threes and then game plan week to week who he highlights in each game plan.
Also, it would give you insurance. And we're not going to go down this road because I don't know that Stiz has ever corroborated the information, but we all know Stiz lives in a different social media world than the rest of us due to his days in the music world, R&B world. His algorithms and timelines are different.
I am fascinated by it, though.
Well, he sees and hears things that are rumored on social media about Steph Diggs that, if there's any veracity to them, I would like to have an insurance policy.
But just the fact that his name is being brought up in these type of, it's just not great.
Yeah, no, it's not a great look. And if you lose him, we've talked about it. Now you're back to square one where you're really not sure what the hell's going on at the wide receiver.
And a big thing too is it's the age. Michael Parsons is 26.
Yep.
And Terry McLaurin is 30. That's a big,
can
4 years
imagine?
Is a big difference.
Imagine this defense. Can you imagine it, with the hype and hope that we have surrounding this defense, saying they could be a top 12, top 10, if you added Micah Parsons to it? Cry havoc and let's slip
I can
the
imagine,
dogs of war. That would be awesome.
Ted Johnson told me all I can do is imagine because there's no way in hell they're trading for a player and handing him $140 million. So
it'd be great when you lose every game 14-10 because you didn't add that wide receiver, though.
Dream on.
That's just
dream
what I'm
on.
About.
Keep dreaming.
All right, boys.
We dreamt yesterday about Joe Ryan. We didn't get it. We dreamed today about Terry McLaurin and Micah Parsons. We probably won't get either of those guys either. So back to reality. The Red Sox are at Fenway Park tonight against the Astros. Cooper Criswell will be on the mound. I will be there to watch it and boo it. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls reacting to the Red Sox trade deadline as well as these trade opportunities. I see some of you guys lining up as well. Back to your phone calls. Back to the Red Sox next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball with all the exciting trending news.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Craig Breslow this morning on the Greg Hill Show. You missed that interview, you can go back on the Odyssey app, which I do all the time. I don't know how much Ted Johnson used the Odyssey app, but it is so flipping easy.
I love it.
You press EEI. Yep. You press Greg Hill Show. And then it gives you the little rundown. It says Craig Breslow joined us at 9. You
Incredible.
Hit it and you listen to it.
You can just a la carte.
Yes.
What you want to hear from a 4-hour show.
And it works. Unlike a lot of my technology that I struggle with, it streaming services,
it
different things,
work.
A little circle. Nope. I just listen to it. It's beautiful. 617-779-7937.
Not a lot of commercials. Just so.
No, it's perfect.
Perfect.
If you want to get the content, it's there on the Odyssey app. It's also available on the iHeart app.
Look at a couple of company men out here.
It was super easy this morning. As soon as everyone said, did you hear about Craig Breslow getting booed on the Greg Hill Show? I went right into the app, turned on the interview, and what do you know? Within a minute,
Yeah, it turns out he was booed multiple times because he was booed organically, and then Greg kind of set him up for a second boo when he introduced him to the crowd. Craig, I'm not questioning Cooper Criswell's effort tonight. He said, we're going to go out there and we're going to try to perform. No. I believe he'll try to perform, but he is not a high-level pitcher. He's not a Joe Ryan. He's not a guy you could have acquired at the trade deadline. This is not a Cooper Criswell thing. That's why I'm starting to really feel bad that Cooper Criswell is going to be the lightning rod for booing and criticism that is so unfair to him. All he's doing is showing up and trying to pitch a baseball game. He had nothing to do with the trade deadline. Literally
nothing. He throws a no-hitter tonight.
If he throws a no-hitter, I'll be happy to cheer. I will happily cheer.
Real quick, I just noticed this on commercial break on the socials, and it has to do with your interest, Andy, in the starting rotation for the weekend as well. I know you were probably thinking, when they lose tonight, I'll just go back Sunday and watch them win in the Dustin May debut. Sadly, that has been pushed back.
Now Dustin May has been pushed back?
Yes.
We can't even get a Dustin May?
According to Chris Cotillo, Lucas Giolito is now slated to start Sunday, not Dustin May. Now we're going to have to find out if that's because the guy they traded for isn't ready or hurt or both or neither.
Or they maybe just want to salvage a game in this series so they like Giolito might actually give us a chance to win. I know who would have given you a chance to win. That'd be Joe Ryan. And John in the car wants to talk about that. The trade deadline, Joe Ryan and more. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on? Andy, it's interesting. You got to sit next to Jared Karabas twins there who think Bob Kraft is actually going to spend some of his cap space. But, you know, I am let me start with this. Like, I think it sucks. And I think the Red Sox suck for not upgrading their ball club during the trade deadline here. But one thing that I do find interesting is, like, all this reporting and all these stories that come out after the fact about Joe Ryan, because you have people who I, you know, usually trust, like Jen McCaffrey, who says something like, well, they didn't offer any of their outfielders. Well, that could also mean that, or some of their outfielders, that could mean Roman Anthony. And you know what? If they didn't want to give up Roman Anthony for Joe Ryan, I think I'm okay with that. The other thing that I find hilarious is, in bringing back up Karabas, is that, like, we have to play this game with the Red Sox of, like, is this a state reporter that's given me a bill of goods? But, like, quite frankly, as a Boston sports fan, and I know I might be in the minority, but I'm over the fact that the Boston Red Sox and the New England Patriots constantly have to go back and forth and try to, like, win press conferences and win sound bites and, like, win every sort of interview that they're ever in. Like, I appreciate Brad Stevens and Dombrowski who tell me like it is. Like, we're going to try to do this, and then they try to, and then they do it. I'm done with all these people.
Thanks for the call, John.
The Red Sox suck.
Well, I will say, a lot of times the efforts to win public perception and press conferences and PR is when you're not winning on the field. It's a lot easier to just throw double birds at everybody when you have a good record, when you're going to the playoffs, when the Celtics are winning championships, they're going to the whatever, right? When you're not winning and you're missing the playoffs and you're finishing in last place, that's when you try to start to control the message.
Let me ask you guys this. Did you, to his point, kind of about what Karabas said, there was a lot of people, that cover the team, around the team, that have kind of been alluding to a big deal was coming. The Red Sox were going to do something at trade deadline, just buckle up, hold on. And then not even close to getting these deals done. So after the fact, it does kind of take away some of the shine from those insiders, quote insiders, but it also makes you think that, I mean, what were they doing? I mean, this for a month and a half, they have been basically telling you they're about to do something big and they don't. And you got to expect backlash from that, right?
Yeah. Unless, as I said to you, you're brazen and you've done it before and you'll do it again, and you realize we live and we sell tickets and we still have people at our games.
I think before I came on, I heard you guys talking about where you said something to the fact that you think maybe that he got nervous, that maybe Breslow was so confident. I feel like there was a little bit of that might be overconfident that they were going to get a deal done, and that perhaps that they rushed at the end just to get something done. So it looks as if, hey, We did something, and you can kind of justify these, you know, end of the rotation relievers to some degree, but that they really were forced into it because the deals they really wanted, they drugged their feet on, or they were overconfident and lost those on.
And the other aspect here, Fitzy, is that we do need to remember that Breslow was new to the job. He has been negotiating big deals for a very short period of time over the last year, and if he's not good at it, then he's not good at it. And what I mean by that is his perception of what's going on, like, he could be telling Jen McCaffrey, Jared Karabas, whoever, I've had some good conversations with this team, and we're definitely progressing. And he may have no idea what he's talking about because he's not good at negotiating deals, as Bob
Don't blame me, I'm just a computer.
But at the same time, just a computer, you did pull off perhaps one of the best, if not the best, trade of the offseason by parting ways with a decent amount of talent to acquire a stud lefty in Garrett Crochet. So maybe Maybe just maybe the league did catch on to him Danny Ainge style, because remember, people didn't want to deal with the Celtics anymore because Danny Ainge never wanted to part ways with his assets and was always impossible to deal with. I can't imagine that Breslow overvalued all the rest of the pieces in Portland and in Worcester as well, and was hesitant to part ways with enough talent to get a deal like this done because Minnesota traded everyone else. But this is what happens when you wait till the last minute to try to get across the finish line. People jack up the prices, and then they end up holding you hostage, and there's a very high risk of losing. And guess what, Craig Breslow? You lost. You blew it.
Ted and Fitzy both did their three-point stances on potential trade targets, so I want to mix in some of those phone calls. Ross in New Hampshire, he has a need. He has a need for something. What is that, Ross?
I need Terry McLaurin. He should do whatever it is to get Terry McLaurin. I think back to the Moss and Welker days. I don't think Pop Douglas can do Wes Welker. Terry McLaurin is a perfect 1A to Stephon Diggs, 1B. Get the man here and help Drake May.
All right, thanks for the call, Ross. Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Ted, I know you poo-poo it for the trade side, the craft side, the money, the assets, but just on paper, you look at the team in the NFL that has the most salary cap space right now is the New England Patriots.
Yep.
The team in the NFL that even with...
By a wide margin.
Yes, by a wide margin. And the team in the NFL that even with the addition of Steph Diggs is somewhere near the bottom of the league in wide receiver talent is the Patriots. And Terry McLaurin, a guy who has proven the ability to succeed regardless of quarterback. Right? Like, there's some guys you worry, like, oh, he's been with the same quarterback. They got a report. Nope. Terry McLaurin's had a different quarterback every year, and it doesn't matter who it is.
He doesn't have a blemish on his resume.
No.
Like, no blemish. And the best argument you can make for Terry McLaurin is the fact that he's been productive with the also-rans of the league.
Absolutely. So you go from Jaden Daniels to Drake May.
Yeah.
Pencil in 1,100 yards and, I don't know, 85 catches, 10 touchdowns. Boom. It makes so much sense. Other than the wet blanket over here, Ted Johnson says they're not going to trade multiple second-round picks and then hand the guy $30 million a year. That doesn't sound like a craft
especially
move.
At that position.
They don't like
wide receivers.
That's true. He did leave the door open for that for a pass rusher named Micah Parsons, who's also on the trade market. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls. If you want to talk these NFL trade possibilities for the Patriots, we're happy to discuss it, even if Ted is poo-pooing it. But we also continue to break down what the hell happened at the trade deadline. Why are the Red Sox where they are? And Alex Cora, scheduled to talk to the media in the next 10 to 15 minutes or so. We will play you Alex Cora answering for the inactivity at the trade deadline. Not really his job, but it's part of the job that it comes with $21 million. Alex Cora, your phone call's up next here on WEEIF.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Afternoons. Words, 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 words.
Words on top of words.
A lot of words that said we did nothing.
What's up, Daniel?
I'm developing a bit of a Pavlovian thing here. I hear his voice and it automatically makes me mad.
Yeah, a little bit.
It agitates me at this point.
For me,
it's more of an eye roll.
Yeah.
I've had that for a while with him. I mean, I think Heim Bloom was just almost as bad.
They're the same. There are all these modern... I don't want to be disrespectful and say, like, geeks or nerds or whatever, but...
Oh, I will. Nerds.
Okay. I'm not sure communication is a part of their strengths. You know, they work their way up through information, not communication.
You think, all these other ball clubs have nerds working for them, and they all take calls from other nerds. Do you think, like, as far as, like, on the nerd chain, that Breslow is, like...
The nerdiest.
Even the nerds are like, you know what? This guy's
Chief Nerdus Maximus, yeah.
Like, yeah, he absolutely is. And they don't all have nerds. Some of them have, I think, some people above the nerds
dweebs?
That keep the nerds.
Well, but they don't have frontward-facing nerds.
Yes.
That's the difference. You have nerds in the background that are doing the work on their computers, but then you have somebody who's polished, who knows how to speak to the media, and that's something that you can't not have in
maybe
the
that's what he needs. Yeah. A front man.
Yeah.
Like Milli Vanilli. Remember Milli Vanilli, the lip syncing and the whole thing?
Yeah.
He needs a Milli Vanilli.
It's true.
Go out there.
I always blame it on the rain.
They should have somebody that goes out there and just looks the part, talks the part, has a few talking points, and everybody's like, damn, he was, oh, they do. His name's Alex Corum. We'll hear from him about 15 minutes.
But think about it. The art of negotiating is very different from just an analytical mind.
Yes.
So one is you have breaking down data, and one is actually interpersonal skills.
Great point.
And they're very; those are very different skills.
I don't know if we're trending toward this, but I think in Breslow's world, his computer would reach out to, you know, the Twins' computer, and they would spit out formulas and eventually come to some trade that they think is fair for Joe Ryan and the prospects. But that's not what we're at. We're still in a world where Dave Dombrowski picks up a phone and goes, you know what? Hell, we'll do it. Just send him to us. You know what I mean? Like, I want to win this year. That's a guy that's not a nerd. That's an old school baseball.
But that's a guy who does business deals at like late night mahogany bars with scotches and cigars, not like, you know,
and that's how deals are still done.
Like, Yeah, but Dave Dombrowski doesn't do, let's touch phones and we'll exchange trade proposals via Bluetooth. Like, no. He sits down and they hash it out like old-fashioned men.
I mean, I know it's a movie, but the comparison that I give you is Moneyball, where Brad Pitt had a nerd that was feeding him information, and then that was turned around with other GMs and real human conversations so that one could try to get the upper hand with the info, but you're not just basing every single conversation you have on info, on analytics, on that algorithm that you're talking about. So, yeah,
people.
You seem to be missing that one very key part. You missed it with Haim, and you're missing it with Breslow right now.
Breslow's probably like, can we hurry up and get AI to do this stuff?
Why am I even actually talking to you?
Why do
right
I have
now?
To talk to you? Can AI do it?
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. And I think, Ted, this may be somebody who's along your lines of thinking. Dan in Omaha, and the subject line says, Breslow and his Yale degree. I read that with tone. What's up, Dan?
Howdy. Yeah, no, you know, you guys are speaking my language, and I just really want to flag this. You know, Craig Breslow comes in, and he starts talking like a business school textbook, and that's how you know what you're dealing with. You know, you go back to Theo, I was watching a video of him yesterday, he talks like a normal guy, right? Same background, but he doesn't come in throwing around 10 SAT words in every sentence, and as soon as you hear that out of Craig Breslow's mouth, you know, he's an insecure guy. All he's got is his education credential. He's the ball player who went to Yale. And everything we're seeing, all the reporting about how he acts inside the organization and this utter failure at the trade deadline, every single one of us who's worked for someone like this in corporate America knows exactly where it's coming from. So I hope the whole region learns a lesson about someone who talks like this and how far away you want them from any position in your organization. I'll hang up and listen.
Wow. Thanks for the call, Dan.
Love it.
Yeah. The one thing I think is funny is at the time we thought Theo Epstein was kind of a nerd and kind of talked funny. But now with what we've seen from Bloom and Breslow, we're like, no, we'll take that back now. It was nerdy, but it wasn't full on nerd.
Well, no, he played in a band. Didn't he play guitar or something?
Yeah, but he was still nerdy.
Okay.
And back then, the other thing you had back then was you had Larry Lucchino, the old school baseball guy working with Theo Epstein.
Yep.
So you kind of had the mentor who was still the person who had relationships in baseball, who had energy and anger and didn't just computer quantify everything.
What makes me nervous is that general managers get, things put on them where they say he's not easy to deal with.
Yeah. Right?
And so all of a sudden is now they got a reputation of being hard to deal with. And so, the Red Sox never get good deals because guys don't even want to even make a call because of their reputation.
Yeah, Ted, am I wrong that I still believe that in business, a lot of business, a lot of sports, a lot of everything, there's still a lot of work that's done with, like, at the bar, foundations are laid where we have a couple drinks, maybe we go golfing, whatever it is. There's still, in this computer world, still matters.
At the end of the day, we're still people and we're relational.
Yeah.
And those relationships matter more than anything else.
Because I've
big
seen
words.
That. I've seen that. To me, the best example of that is when the entire NFL world converges on Indianapolis for the NFL scouting combine. The media, you know how they get sources? They go drinking. And teams, you know how they talk to agents? They go drinking. And you know how agents made, like, it's all, they're at bars at like 3 a.m. laying the foundation. So then when you call the guy the next day at 11 a.m. to actually have a serious conversation, you guys are literally old drinking buddies who laid the foundation for this conversation.
Right. That's right.
I'm not sure if Craig Breslow has that in him. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Ron in Agawam. He wants to talk about Jaren Duran. What's up, Ron?
Hey, guys. First time, long time, and love the show. Love the topic today. Jesus, Brezzo was shopping. Wasn't he shopping Durant initially? Jaren was going to be on the table, and then maybe that blew up when they decided, oh, my God, we can't let this kid go.
Okay, Ron, thanks for the call. So I don't know if it was that. I mean, there was a couple things here. You had the Marcelo Meyer injury, where now sort of the depth of the outfield is playing second base because Rafael is getting games at second base. You also had what we've talked about with Durant himself. He gets bumped down the order.
And then starts lighting it up.
And he looks like, oh, boy, do we have all-star Jaren Duran back? And do you want to give up on that now?
Exactly.
And the other layer that I don't know enough about because I'm not in that clubhouse is I think we had Lou warn us, whoever it was, warned us about how much he's loved in that clubhouse. Yep. Can you trade that
factor? Yep.
What would that, even if you got talent back, the interpersonal teammate factor of the clubhouse could also be an issue. And you round that all together and they decided they were not going to trade not only Duran, but Craig Breslow said this morning they weren't trading anybody off the major league roster. Mm-hmm. They were trying to do it all with prospects, Fitzy. And as we found out, thanks to Breslow, no one likes your prospects apparently.
Or at least didn't like enough of what Breslow had to offer, because while he could say, oh, we went into this process with nobody being untouchable, that's what he could say right now. But then Minnesota could have said, okay, then give me Toli and the password and this guy and that guy. And they, oh, well, that is a little rich. I mean, no one's untouchable. We just didn't mean a combination of four or five or six guys together was untouchable. And next thing you know, you don't get you ain't paying no 50 cents. You ain't getting no Coke.
617-779-7937. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll hear from the manager, Alex Cora. I think he may be starting to speak right now. Either way, we'll talk to him or listen to him on the other side. We're also going to talk to our buddy Will Fleming. We booked this interview about a month ago. We told him he was projecting big things at the trade deadline. We said, you're coming on the show in studio August 1st. Well, time to pay the piper. You got to tell us what the hell went wrong, Will Fleming. Alex Cora, Will Fleming, and more Red Sox talk up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.